Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week we have Juan back on from Creature Bazaar talking about how good SummerSlam was. Being able to meet all the artists, seeing how many people wanted to buy the art, and just seeing the community and the space that was created. Insane show. You won't want to miss it. If you want to support the show, you can follow us on all socials at Toys on Tap. If you want to jump on and support us in a free way, like, subscribe, rate, review, wherever you get podcasts. And if you want to jump on even more, patreon.com/toysontap. It's where y'all get all the goodies, all the extras. And let's get to this week's episode of Toys on Tap. What's up, Kwong?
Nothing much, friend. How's it going?
Good, dude. Two visits so close together. Pumped, yeah. Pumped. Just looked over and did a short video of the Paul Kaiju piece I got. And man, those dolphin pieces are so sick.
Oh, is that what you got?
Yeah. That's the one. Oh. I saw that they were a run, but I still, like, that's what I was after. Well, the second I saw them, it was like, that's the piece.
That's awesome. I don't know if you've seen the commercial that we did for those.
Yeah, I haven't seen the commercial. I saw the behind the scenes of you guys, like, spraying and stuff.
Oh, how funny. Yeah. That was a project that we did a while ago that was, like, it was pretty fun. You know, all the guys came over and, like, we shot that all in the backyard.
Yeah. Dude, that's so sick. I mean, I'm glad that you're back on. We're here to talk through SummerSlam, the aftermath, and yeah, kind of talk through what it was like. It was a sick show. So, I mean, let's jump into it. Like, introduce yourself. Tell us who you are and why you're back.
I'm Kwong Lee. I'm one of the, I guess, one of the guys that consists of Creature Bazaar. I was the host of this last weekend SummerSlam, and I guess the last four of them. I guess we're here. We're actually here for you, really. I'm here to hear what your thoughts were on your first SummerSlam.
Yeah, I mean, we can break it down. Like, it was a day of driving all over toy things, right? Like, I was up in Alhambra and stuff and coming back, but I got there. I mean, I was pretty early, like maybe 4:30, just waiting in line out there. And right. Which is like, you forget that it's at your house and then you pull up and it really is in a neighborhood.
Right.
And right. So it's like, it feels like someone who has tried to say, like, I want to throw a party. And then they're like, I got this venue. And then you show up, it's a house. Except the feeling when you got in the backyard was so sick. It's like what you dream about at all these conventions or something. And so, I mean, waiting out there, the wait was simple. It was easy hanging out. And then walking in and, like, just having, it seems like every part of the event is curated. So it's like you walk in, there's music playing, food's getting ready, everyone's like walking the tables to figure out what piece they're gonna get. And this was what was crazy, is like, this was my first time dealing with that kind of a lottery system.
Sure. Like,
never seen it before. Well done. Because I for sure thought that it was like you get the wristband and that's the number you get called. And I was like, oh, that's a bummer. Like, I just arrived early.
Camped out the night before.
Yeah. And then, like, having Paul hand out all the numbers and everything, that was such a well-done thing. I was, like, 53. And I was like, I don't know, just thinking about how well the lottery system was done didn't even bother me that I was 53. I was like, whatever. We got this.
Well, and the fact that you know, I don't know if there was other things that you wanted when it came to, I guess, like, you know, everybody walks into a show and it's interesting that this was your first time sort of dealing with this. But you go and you look at, like, sort of like the array of things that you could get. And then you start logging in your mind, like, this is my number one, this is my number two, this is my whatever. And, you know, luckily everybody's, let's say, top five is different.
Yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, where did those dolphins fit in, if you can even remember, as far as the hierarchy of things that you're interested in from Paul?
Yeah, so that, I mean, this is my first Paul piece. So that was what was really cool about it. It was like one or two, and then there was a couple pieces there. And then, there was another one I saw that was gone before I even got to it. Like,
right.
So the list just quickly shrunk down to like, I just am going to get this. There was one, man, I wish I knew. I saw who, someone posted, they picked it up. I don't know who it was, but it was on the Creature Bazaar table. Two-headed, had like a black chain going down the middle of it.
Oh, the Galligantus.
What up, toy nerds? This is Ray.
And Dave. Go check out our brand new YouTube channel, The Toy Rats.
We make toys.
We talk about toys.
We talk about old toys.
And new toys.
And toys that we make.
And we're just a bunch of goofballs. It's a good time.
We make fun of Dave a lot.
I'm all right with that. So, yeah, if you get a chance, go check out Toy Rats on YouTube. You won't be disappointed. You might be.
Yeah, you could. Who knows?
You got to check it out.
Toy Rats.
Toy Rats.
YouTube.
Back.
Back.
Okay, yeah. So I that was on the list. And then time I swung around, that was gone.
Yeah, well, I'll say, I mean, those were pretty low and run because that was vinyl that we had for a very long time. That was actually one of the earliest toys I had ever worked on.
Yeah.
With Justin Ishmael. But I think that toy is going to be making a return in a pretty cool way. So that's not your last shot to get a cool painted Galligantus.
There we go.
But when it comes to, you know, when you said you arrived early on to the event and you lined up with everybody, like, how did that sort of feel? You know, I guess my approach to this is wanting to give anybody that hasn't attended an idea of what your first time would be like. You know, maybe if they're listening to this, you know, obviously this time or like in a year from now or something like that, like somebody can come back and revisit this. And so they can kind of get an idea, because the reality of it is this was the biggest and sort of like the craziest SummerSlam we've had, you know.
Yeah.
I think I've actually reached what I know now is the cap. Mm-hmm. Of attendees. You know, we in previous years we had gotten close time and time again, and I was like, we could add a few more people, we could have some more people. And this year I'm like, you know what, we actually might need to cut back a little bit in letting however many people in, because it was pretty tight, but in a good way. Everybody was pretty happy.
I will say, if it's your first time, bring someone with you. That way you're in line, you're talking to someone, and it's easier to approach other people. I think what's cool is, like, because I run Toys on Tap, there's people that were at the show that knew me or knew things. So it was cool just to meet them and see them. And but bring someone, depending on how early you're there, because you really are standing there waiting to get into the coolness. But, like, we're waiting. So, like,
yeah, you're
bring
in line.
Yeah, bring someone with you. I would say, the times, have good expectations for the time split ups. Like, don't go in thinking, oh, I'm going to get a toy and bounce, because that's not what this event was for. And it was
absolutely not.
Yeah. Very clear that this event was for community and for, like, fun and just celebrating art and food and whatever. And so, if there was someone that was just ready to get in there, buy stuff and leave, this was not the show.
Right. And that's something that I, over the years of me sort of doing this, I had learned about how transactional mm-hmm. a lot of shows are. You just run in, you buy something, you take off, you run, you go from table to table, you know, you do like your sort of like Double Dare smash through.
Yeah.
Or whatever they call it, like supermarket sweep. Where you're just running through and just trying to grab as much stuff and take off. Like, that's not this. This is, for me, this is sort of for being sort of like a longtime collector or being in the scene or something like that and engaging. You know, it's really cool, like you said, for a lot of collectors to connect with, like...
Wait. Let's pause. I know I don't want to give you a break from this glorious podcast that you are currently listening to, but I have got something to say. First and foremost, I'm grateful. If you're listening to Toys on Tap, you are the reason why we get to do amazing things, help artists, bring artists up, produce their toys, all kinds of cool things. We want to take that a step further. If you could help us achieve our next goal, all you got to do is leave some reviews. I'm looking for 15 new reviews to be put on Apple Podcasts. It would be amazing. It helps me and Toys on Tap to take over the world and get these artists in front of more people. I know you got this. Now let's get back to the episode.
Various people that they had met through the internet or whatever. You know, it's always really fun to see everybody and just kind of slow it down a little bit so you can hang out, which is why we sort of, you know, from the food to the music to everything, how we've sort of curated it to be sort of like, it's definitely excessive, but lean at the same time to make it like the best sort of event we could.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's again, why I, you know, I'll probably reiterate this multiple times. Like, I'd love to hear your take on your first experience to see how well we succeeded in that.
Yeah, I think you guys were really good at slowing it down, which is helpful. Every convention, every show is so fast paced. You talk, you get, you leave, all those things. But there was still an element of you are here to buy something.
Right.
Which I mean, on past like interviews and past things, I get really frustrated when it's too far one way or too far the other. Like, there's shows that just shouldn't exist because it's all about community and they forget that this is a business.
Right.
And then there's other shows that you're just there for the piece. You don't care about the artist, but this was that sweet spot. Slowed it down. And then I know it was like a little behind schedule, which ended up working out great. Paul got on the mic and said, we're going to have tacos. We'll do the lottery at 7:30 or something like that. And I looked at the guy next to me and I'm like, 7:30. And I looked at my clock and it was like 5:45. And I was like, rad, we're going to hang out. And so grabbing, and there's water and soda, all kinds of stuff, tacos, which is a rad way to do things, like to have the food included. You get your shirt, which shirt's sick. I'm wearing it right now. Music's playing, but not crazy loud. I think that's another thing that shows get wrong. They like sometimes music is just blaring and I can't hear a thing.
Well, that, you know, our DJ Lily is incredible.
It was rad.
And I really, really give it up to Paul. Paul, for those of him that know him, he's like a music freak. And he literally is like a childhood friend of his. And you know, her record collection is insane. And so, you know, he really was focused sure that that's part of the ambiance was correct. And you know, and you know, music is something that annoys me immensely when it comes to trade shows, conventions, like events. Like, I will be at a booth, at my booth, and then somebody will have a huge stereo system in theirs and just like be going off in their booth. And I'm like, how are you doing anything? Oh, because you guys aren't selling anything. Like, your booth is a hangout booth, you know, because you're making something essentially nobody wants but you and your friends. So you guys are just losing your minds.
Yeah.
You know? And so it gets kind of annoying where I felt like the ambiance is something that we really, really focused on and just trying to, you know, in a way, you know, Creature Bazaar as a entity started out as a convention initially. And anybody that knows me, I have a pretty big musical background myself. And I'm interested in so many different things that the convention that we were supposed to have was going to incorporate all those things. It was going to be sort of like a multifaceted event. It wasn't just going to be toys. It was going to have records and, you know, physical media and latex masks and all sorts of other things in its first version. And so SummerSlam is kind of like a micro version of that. And one of the things when it comes to the artists that are involved, which the lineup was already established before I even came into the picture, or Creature Bizarre came into the picture, by Paul. But really the collective of people that are there and showcase there are people that all like really care for each other. And that's something that we also wanted to have the audience, like the collectors that come, like really see. And I feel like that's something that they also get as well, as they get that we all, it's more than just a thing where we sell stuff. It's like we all care for each other so much that I want to hang out with these guys all weekend. And SummerSlam is just sort of like the byproduct of that as well.
Yeah, I think the cool part about the opening as well is all the artists that are there, the lineup, we're all hanging out together.
Right.
And they're out talking. And this is the first time I got to meet Buona Spoons. It's the first time I met Paul. And so it was like, this is awesome, because I wanted to meet them for a while. This is a cool thing. And then the hangout was cool, and doing all that. The lottery was rad. It's so free flowing, and the foot traffic there. So I can't, like, I mean, some people are really good at this. I'm not. If there's 40 people in your backyard or 200, I just see a lot of people.
Sure.
There had to have been at least 100 people there, was what it felt like. Yeah. Cause it was packed, and it was so much fun to have that in there. And no one got crazy. We were just walking around.
So I'll be upfront that the ticketing system for it is actually a money loser for us.
Okay.
That with the food, the shirts, the toilet, all of those things, the stickers, all of that combined, we make no money off of that. Like Creature Bizarre, myself, I actually lose money. The reason that even exists is before I was a part of SummerSlam, Paul was doing this all himself, and he would just have like a RSVP, like a Facebook RSVP event. And there would, I'm not even joking, there would be like 1,200 people that would RSVP from around the world.
Oof.
And you would go, and there would be, you know, I'll make up a number right now, between like 75 to 125 people at the event. Nowhere close to that 1,200, 1,500 number, or even like, you know, it could have been as low as 500 people at some times, but it was like an astronomical number. And how do you prepare for that? And how do I prepare for that in a private space?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then one of the things that we wanted to do with this is the last few years of SummerSlam, Paul had provided food for everybody. And we realized that was a really great thing, because then I could integrate hanging out a lot more, where it wasn't like a, hey, we should time this out correctly so that people can go get dinner. Or if they were hungry, is this an event before dinner or after dinner? Because you're going to have to factor that in when you're doing an event in the evening. So now that we've included that, how do I account for the catering for such a thing? And so it was like kind of like a twofold kind of thing, which is why, you know, we created that. And it also, I think that it increased people's expectation and their value for an event. Like, I realized when something's free, you just kind of devalue it, or there's no anticipation or build up to it. But now that you've RSVP'd, you have tickets, you know, all these sorts of things, it's like it's something that you're excited about.
Yeah.
You know, you're building to that.
I will say that this is how a good marker of how I think an event, or how I know an event was good for me, is I leave wanting one of three things. One, to come back again. Two, wished I could have stayed longer. Three, because I run Toys on Tap, like, how do I then invest in this, or how do I like give to this show? If those three things happen, that's a good show. And all three of them, as I was leaving, I was like, yeah. I mean, I live in San Diego, so I had to leave at a certain point so I like could drive. But those were the three things that once they hit those markers, it's a show that I'm sold on. Like, you won. You did it.
Yeah, I mean, the real thing with anything we actually work on, like Creature Bazaar or what myself, is that I work pretty hard at trying to make an event that I would like to attend.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reality of it is for the most part, I've been to tons of different events. I've been to tons of different shows, and they're all pretty good, but I think that they can be better.
Yeah.
And I've always kind of come in with the kind of arrogance that I want to make the kind of shows that I'd like to attend. And I'm trying to build the roadmap for other people to copy so that I don't have to work anymore. I could pay the price of admission and go and just enjoy and sit back and enjoy it. And unfortunately, I still haven't attended it. I can't say ever, but like there's still a lot of things where it's like people are either too focused on making it bigger, too focused on like, you know, making it just different things than I think that what I think the audience truly wants, which is why I'm always interested. And I'll walk up to a lot of different people and be like, what did you think?
Yeah.
What could have changed? You know, and when it came to SummerSlam, everybody's sort of like, it's perfect. It's perfect the way it is. You know, I was asked what happens if we hit maximum capacity, which we did. And I was just like, cool. Like, I don't plan on moving it. I don't plan on trying to make the show bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, it's just sort of like keeping it how it is. And then just informing people that, you know, this might sell out, so you're going to have to get your ticket sooner.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say that the day that I have it where it sells out, the day I make the tickets available, that's when I have a problem. If it just sells out immediately, then I know that like there's something going on. But if it's on sale and it doesn't sell out till like 2 weeks before the show or something like that, or 2 weeks before the cutoff, then that just means people need to like kind of like plan their stuff a little bit better.
Right. It was cool. Yeah. Doing how it was separated, going through the buying process. Listen, this is an honest thing. And you've been to conventions. There is a business side to toys that I think a lot of people suck at with like, just learn technology, right? Like learn how to take people's money. They want to give it to you. Figure that out. None of that existed here. It was like, this is what I want. This is how I pay. We move on. It was the best anywhere.
Well, and I'll say that like when it comes to the artists that we have,
yeah,
we're all pros, you know, like, Of everybody that's there, I'm actually the youngest when it comes to selling stuff. I mean, Paul is a living legend,
mm-hmm.
you know, when it comes to the scene. You know, Buana, you know, I've known Buana for like 20 years or something like that. Like, it's like an insanely long time, and I'm aging myself, you know, and I've known John for a very long time. So it's like, so we're all pros when it comes to this, which is why, you know, we're guys that work really well together. And I think it's something that the audience, you know, I refer to audience, but it's all the collectors and customers that are there. Like, it all works together.
Mm-hmm.
And the fandoms from each individual artist cross over really well. You know, and, you know, Michael, Draculaser, and then every once in a while, we'll have some guys kind of like pop in, but it's all in service of the fandom. You know, whenever all the people that are there, we meld so well together that that it's sort of like a well-oiled machine. And so, and here's the thing, if we had, you know, let's just say we invited another artist and they didn't really have their stuff together, with this crew of guys, we're really fast about being, okay, let's pick this guy up, let's make this happen, let's make it smoother.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that we really like focus on when it comes to the show.
Yeah. There was this moment where it was like, it like golden hour with photography or whatever. Sun's going down. the lights are on, the lanterns are there that are like strewn about, the music's playing, people are buying toys. And it was just like this moment of just standing there like, yeah, this is why I do Toys on Tap. Like, this is the stuff that kind of makes it happen. Going back to the bring someone with you so you're waiting in line with people. Also bring someone with you because you get a lottery number. Like, right. There was a line of people right next to me. And it was like when he started calling the numbers, each one of them got called. And then I got called last. And it was like, oh, my gosh. And so, like, up those odds, bring someone with you. Holy moly.
Yeah.
And then I don't know the two people that were helping Paul.
Robert and Melissa.
Okay. And so they were doing something that was like really cool as well. There's, I think when artists table or when they sell toys, there's a tendency to say like, we want money. So just like buy all the toys.
Right.
But they slow it down and they say like, you can have one-off, you can have as many of the runs. That's fine. And sure. they were tapering it down. So like there was still a few one-offs by the time I got there.
Right.
Which was rad. And cool. You don't see it that often.
And that's what kind of comes down to that. Everybody, when they're going through their list of things, when they first attend a show, you look at the artist table and then you're going through your mind of like, what's my top five?
Yeah.
You know, what do I want? And everybody's is totally different. You know, I have a huge amount of Paul stuff. I have probably some of the craziest one-offs that you can imagine. Paul likes to call it my freak show.
Yeah.
But this year, I was really interested in a lot of the runs. I really liked his run of his new Pogo figure, the glow-in-the-dark version of the Dolphins. I really loved. You know, so it's different for everybody, and that's what's kind of the fun of it all. Because, like, I know the kid that got pulled number one.
Mm-hmm.
He actually, like, he had attended our show at the movie theater on Monday where we showed King Ghidorah, the three-headed monster. And he's like, I can't buy anything. I'm saving all my money for SummerSlam. I'm saving all my money. You know, I was like, that's cool, man. That's cool, you know. And then, like, he just wanted to come and support because he's, like, a local guy. And he was picked number one, which was incredible, and he went off.
Yeah.
Like, when I peeked into his bag of stuff, I was like, geez, like, you did go crazy.
Yeah.
You know? And it wasn't stuff that I would have picked. Mm-hmm. Is my number one, but he got great things and he was ecstatic. So, you know, it's different for everybody. And I think that's part of the fun of the game. I mean, you said you're number 53.
Yeah.
And you still got, let's say, your number two choice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how cool is that?
Yeah, I think being there was cool in that there were pieces that I wouldn't buy just because it didn't hit that for me. But I didn't see one bad piece. Like, yeah, and that is insane.
The, you know, I'll take a little credit there because there's years where all of us as artists have our up and down years.
Yeah.
And I'll come in and I'll just start beating people up, being like, come on, man. Like, you really think this is your best year? You really think you worked this hard? And sometimes some guys phone it in and you know. And I'll let people know. I'll let the guys know, like, man, like, I don't know what was going on, like, with the buying market this year, like, whatever, like, you did your best. But usually it's like most of the guys are like, yeah, you know, I kind of phoned it in, whatever. And, like, I think this year everybody was like, oh, this was the best year of the show because I think everything was sort of firing on all cylinders. And, you know, I have kind of this funny story where, like, the taco vendor that we use – is somebody that, like, I've known for years as, like, a customer. Like, it got to the point I was eating at their taco spot so often. And it's like a, you know, they had like a tent on the side of the road. And, you know, I would just cruise around. I was like, oh, this place looks good. And I'd try it. I was like, oh, this is the best. And then I tried it differently. Oh, this is the best. And I whittled it down to this specific this specific family, and they have a retail spot now. It's called La Mamalona, and they have a couple food trucks. But I was just like, as far as meat, hot sauce, tortillas, I was like, this is the best combination. And for a moment, they weren't going to be able to do the show. They were actually already double booked. And I went, and my girlfriend drove me around to a bunch of different places. I was like trying different taco places. I think I had like 4 or 5 tacos in one day. And I was just like, this isn't right. This isn't right. And then finally, like I was texting the daughter of the owner of the taco place, and I was like, look, do you like I understand you guys are already double booked, you're not gonna be able to do this. Do you know any other is there anybody you can refer to me? Because I'm not really hitting it. This last one is kind of there, but I don't feel totally right. And then finally she's like, look, I talked to my mom and she says we have to go with you. Like, you've known us since day one. I mean, it got to the point where I've known them for long enough. When I'd go to their place to eat, they wouldn't even charge me anymore. And so they felt really bad about like being double booked because I had tried to book them well in advance, but I think they forgot to write it down. So something happened, right? Like, to no fault of anybody. And then, but at the end of the day, they were like, look, we can do this. And it all worked out, which is why we actually ended up starting a little bit later, because they already did different venues before, and they're just trying to get out of those to come over here, to end their day. And so that's, when you're talking about sort of like how it was like everything was perfect, music, whatever. It's just like, yeah, because, through the years of doing it, we've just found the best versions of everything to like make it work for everybody. I think I was at San Diego Comic Con.
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this.
Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet. Oh my, we're doomed. Wait, salvation. Hooray, we're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures.
DKE.
And there had to have been about like 15 different people that asked me if we were using the same taco place. And then I'd be at like toy shows, throughout the month, and people would be asking me about the DJ. Like, it's kind of turned into people asking me about everything but the toys, which is kind of fun.
That it just speaks to like the coolness of the show. I mean, the laid back nature of it. Tacos were late. Who cares? Like, none of us in that line cared a bit. It was awesome.
And that also comes down to what I think that Paul and all of us have curated over the years with the specific fans that are there for it. Because we have people traveling in from all over the country that are like, this is the best show of the year. And it's funny because it doesn't even start till 5. But that's also kind of like, the attitude and the vibe that we wanted to put out, where we just slow it down. I know that there's other toy events going on earlier in the day, and I think that they were all successful in their own way, but everyone actually sounded a little bit more chaotic,
They were.
and that's not necessarily what I want. What I wanted was to have our sort of like, I'm always interested in having new people come out to the show, but also like our fan base that has grown with us. And the people that we'll see, all over the world at different shows. But when it comes to our show, like, they're expecting a certain thing. And why I wanted to talk to you is to get your take from like beginning to end, like how you felt about coming in, the process of getting your shirt, how did that feel? What was it like going through the whole process of everything?
Yeah, it was smooth. I mean, because of the location, there is these like pre things that come into the back of your head, like we're in a backyard, like things might be a little jumbled, might be, but everything was smooth. Like the line just started going in and shirts started going and we just started moving in, and it didn't even, I think what kind of boils it down is, someone got number one. I don't remember what his name was. But there was a problem with the first one. He came up because he read his number wrong. And he was like, and everyone laughed because it was like, this is, and it just set the tone like really well. Like this is this type of community, which was really cool. Going through it all. And then there's this, once you have your, like your toys, your art, whatever, you're just standing there talking and like hanging out. And there's like little things that really put the touch on it. I would say, man, who was painting? I can't remember his name.
Christopher Ulrich.
There we go. He's like painting while it's happening. And it was so good. And just like such a fun touch. Stops, talks to everyone, smokes a cigarette, goes back to painting, like doing all kinds of this stuff. And then you just, I think in the email it said bring a chair or something, and you just walk around, and it feels like almost like a company picnic. Like we're all there hanging out, eating tacos, sitting around. And then even saying bye to people, like there was a moment at the end, but right before we started doing the lottery thing, I talked to Paul for a little bit, because I wanted Paul on the podcast. Like he's had this long lineage, so I was like, I want you on for 5 episodes, like do a whole breakdown. And he could have easily said like, nah, I'm not, I don't want to do that, but he like smiled, was like, absolutely, Abe, it's really good to meet you, like you send me an email, we'll make it happen. And then that part, that was cool already, but then like coming up to pay for the toy, and he was like, Abe, thank you, like he knew my name again. And so it just spoke to what was happening. I think the whole show from start to finish has outdone a lot of shows for me. Like a lot of other shows can't compete with what you've provided over your years of trial and error. You guys hit a mark that's like chef's kiss. I don't know. Like it's almost to the point, like all the other shows that you go to, they're like, how do we make this better? How do we make it greater? But now it's like, how do we sustain this beauty community that we've got going on? And it's awesome.
It was funny because I did an interview a long time ago, and I said this without thinking about what I was saying, but everybody's kind of come up and like patted me on the back for it, where I had said at one point that I wasn't really interested in making Creature Bazaar bigger. Mm-hmm. It was like, I just want to make it weirder. You know, and, you know, because the thing about our community is that it shouldn't be a huge thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not trying to be exclusive, but I want just the right people that are interested in it to engage with us and want to be there. You know, I'm not really interested in hunting people down and sort of like, you know, like holding them down, pulling their head back and just pouring it down their throat. It's like, hey man, if you're here, if you're into it, if you want to be into it, you're more than welcome. But I want you to find it and like engage with it and love it, because it's like the things aren't cheap.
Right.
You know, they're not easy to get. Like I want you to really want to be here. And when I sit and I talk to people and they're like, man, this is what I wait for all year long. Or there's people that just travel in and things like that. It makes me really happy because it's just like they found us. Like, you know, and I'll say that I'm really, really terrible with names. I'm better with faces.
Yeah.
And when I go up and I see somebody, I was like, oh man, it's this guy. It's just like, oh, this is great. Like, you know, maybe I see them for a second at DCon, or I'll see them at some, you know, whatever show, and we'll talk for about 2 seconds. But when we get into SummerSlam, that's when things slow down a little bit. Like, you know, there's only a handful of vendors here, but it's exactly what people want. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, it's like we've trimmed it down to sort of give you what you truly want, you know, no shade on anybody, but it's like, it's just trimmed down, refined in such a way that you can just hang out and talk. Mm-hmm. You're not running around with a convention with a giant bag on your back, trying to fill it up with just stuff. You know, you're not trying to grab things. you're not trying to mule things for your friends or anything like that. It's just like,
yeah,
you know, you're here to just get stuff for you.
Yeah. I sent, I was like looking at pictures and stuff, or looking at toys, and I was sending pictures to a friend of mine and taking videos of the whole thing. And, he had this reaction, cause I sent him the Paul piece that I was going to get. And he was like,
an Empire Blister.
Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 3.75 inch or 1.18 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available.
Empire Blisters.
Now functional. Toys on tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSOMTAP 10.
Empire Blisters. Empire Blisters.
Jeez, like that's expensive for a toy. And I just shot back, like, didn't you just pay $300 for someone's painted work? Like, is that not the same? And it was like a reorienting of his brain chemistry of like, oh, it's art. Okay, that's right. This is different. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that that's something too that our audience really understands.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't too unlike an art opening at an art gallery.
Right.
It's just formatted a little differently. And that's where, when it comes to the transactional nature of most conventions,
mm-hmm.
where you're like running up, you want to buy something, you want to get out, you want to move to the next booth, it's slowed down so much so that you can engage. Like, I like it when people say, like, I've never had a chance to meet with John Rampage or Bwana Spoons.
Yeah.
And now they're there just standing there doing nothing, you know, so that you don't feel weird about walking up, talking to them for a little bit and having an exchange with them and listening to them, or just telling a funny story, or, you know, whatever it is. That's the stuff that makes the show worth it to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, people buying stuff is fine. That's cool. But it's the fact that, like, you know, we've been doing this years in a row that I've seen people sort of like grow up during this, or their collecting habits are different, or they're into one thing more than another. It's just like, I like seeing that change a little bit, because it's like the stuff isn't cheap. It is like buying original art,
right?
You know, like painting that you put on your wall, except it's in a figural form. And so it's like, this is sort of part of the reward, because I know no other artist does anything like this. You know, yeah. they don't engage with their fan base in such a way where you can have like a personal relationship to it with it. I recently, you know, and I'll shout him out here, but like I met up with that dude, the Safubi King.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, he had come and he is like an awesome guy, super well-mannered, like his girl, they're really great. And I had spoken with him at Monsterpalooza, and I was like, oh, do I know you? Have you come to SummerSlam? Whatever. He's like, yeah, I've been but a couple times or whatever. And I'm like, I felt so bad that he hadn't attended. And he's like, no, I just don't, you know, I don't really, he's like, you seem so busy. Like, I don't want to like hop into, and you know, in your mid conversation or whatever. But over the years, it's sort of like having those moments with all sorts of people that I just have like seen on Instagram or whatever, and then I can put a face to the name,
yeah,
you know, and then we just sort of collect over the years. It's sort of like really cool to build those relationships. And it only really happens at a show like this, because at most shows, I'll say like if you're doing like a lotto at Designer Con or at some other convention, it's like you basically get to know the people that are in front of you and behind you, you know, because everybody's just so focused on like getting that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was, it's hard to describe. Like, it was a cool spot. You know, what was funny is you had said, we talked a little bit outside when I was in line, you were making your rounds, and then inside you came up and said, we were talking about the interview, I think, and you'd said you were going to ask me about it. And so I just started like gathering information from people. Like, what are you thinking about this? What is this like? And I had gone up to Buona Spoons and like talked to him for the first time. And he had said, yeah, I fly down here like every year. And I was like, for this show, like I wanted to make sure that I heard what he was saying. He's like, yeah, of course for this show. And I just, it was like, okay, so it's important to people. Like, that's what I kept getting from anyone that I would talk to, that this show is beyond just a toy show, just beyond like artists showing up. It's really important to people. And I don't really feel that or hear that from any other show. And so there's something here.
Yeah, well, you know, you think about any sort of community, you know, and I grew up sort of like in like a punk background with like a scene, you know, following bands around, whatever it is, right? And it's just like, you know, I'm an old man at this point, and like, I don't go to shows as much anymore. I don't like I think in general, we all want some form of community, you know, we all want to engage, and like this stuff is not cheap at all. You know, I'm not delusional by any means when I think about this. And I'll say that there was people that just come, they buy the ticket and they don't buy anything.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that that's really interesting. And, you know, as much as I love money, you know, to me, it's actually very cool that people want to just come and hang out. Because it's like they know that it's a cool event and they can be around other people that you know, we all suffer from the same sickness.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I take that as a huge compliment. But it's the community is such an important thing to me, more than the toys, more, you know, like the toys is what brings everybody in. But it's the fact that we can generate something that brings us all together in a very positive way. And that's what I, you know, sometimes it gets rough and, you know, I have to be sort of like the mom or the cheerleader of the group that'll be like, come on, guys, you know that, like, I know this is a pain in the ass, but once we're there, it's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all the little touches and everything, like, do we really have to do this? Do you have to? And it's just like, it all matters.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it all makes it for a much better event. And at the end of the day, everybody's like, man, this, you know, every year has become like a better one.
Yeah.
You know, and it's finally got to the point where everybody's like, I don't know how we can make this better.
I honestly, that's the question, right? Like, if it's already at this point and you, I'm assuming this is, it's on par to hit next year, you're going to do it again. So,
yeah. So we basically always do it. The way that SummerSlam has worked out before I participated in it was that it happened during San Diego Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
It was always an event. So Paul originally was part of San Diego Comic-Con. He had a table there, everything. And then eventually he lost the ability to have that table at Comic-Con, but still wanted to show. So then he had, you know, an event offsite, and that event turned into SummerSlam. And then that, you know, that the pandemic hit, and then they essentially lost that venue that they're hosting SummerSlam at for all those years. And then that's when they asked me to step in to like take over the event. And I had said, cool, but we're going to have to move it because I already do stuff at San Diego Comic-Con and I don't have the bandwidth. As much as people like to believe I can do anything, everything and anything, it's just like, I just know that I start losing it at a certain point.
Yeah.
And so I was like, we got to move it. And that's why I ended up being the week after San Diego Comic-Con. So it's always sort of around Comic-Con somehow, but
yeah,
we don't know until like it gets a little bit closer into the year.
What is, I mean, now it's happening next year. Do you have any plans to change anything with the show? You're going to keep it status quo? What is the next year looking like?
You know, it's pretty much, you know, it's been like this for the last few years.
Yeah.
And I think we've really just distilled it down to its like perfect form.
Yeah.
And, you know, like people have asked, like, what am I going to do, you know, if it gets any bigger? And the answer is it's not going to get any bigger.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to keep it as it is. I don't need to have a bigger show. I think, you know, and I'll say that, like, I'm not like a businessman. So I don't approach shows like, I guess it would be weird if I ever made money off of SummerSlam, like the tickets or anything yeah. like that. Like, that's not, I feel like I've ruined it to a point where I've tried to turn the show into like a profit thing like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I make money off of the toys we make and sell. I don't make money off of the tickets. And I think that that's something that people, when they're running these other shows, you know, I know it's their business, but I think that that's what makes it, it like taints the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's when people have looked at the different events that I've done, whether it's at the movie theaters or at SummerSlam or at something else. It's like, I always have the audience in mind first and my wallet second, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, for better or for worse, because at the end of the day, it's like, I think that the audience will reward me eventually if I just offer them the best product at the end of the day. You know, the 200 people that showed up to SummerSlam or whatever it is, it's just like, you know, everybody walked away, all the artists and stuff, being like, wow, man, like I made a good amount of money. I did well at the show. And that's because we put together a good show first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like we're sitting there being like, I need to make my year off of tickets. And then the stuff we sell is bonus. It's just like, no, man, I want people to be out there. I want them having a good time, because when they have a good time, you know, they spend more money.
Yeah.
You know, that's just what happens. That's why they serve alcohol at art galleries.
Yeah.
You know, they want people to get loose.
I think events like this as well they make toys more approachable. They're going to Designer Con, there really is something that's intimidating if you don't know the artist or if you're not in the space to like walk up to a booth and ask questions. At this show, all intimidation is gone, because the people, not only am I there to see the artists that are tabling, but I'm also running into artists that are in the crowd. I'm also talking to people that are collectors in the crowd. And so it just removes every negative of that.
Well, I'll say that, and it's funny that you even bring this up, is because like when we're at a show and somebody walks up to our booth and they're like, what is this? It's yeah. I'm already like bummed out. Like, what, why are you even here if you don't know what this is?
Yeah.
You know, like, which isn't the right answer, I'll say. Like, it's just me being a dickhead. But, you know, because I should be there to help answer questions. But when you're at SummerSlam, it's like, you know, I've had people bring their friends and they're like, I don't get this. I don't understand what this is. But it definitely disarms me in a way where I'm like, okay, let me explain it to you. And then you can kind of see it. And even in the context of how the stuff is being shown, it sort of like, it lets people understand it more like, I am buying art.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am buying something that's collectible, that's not associated with an intellectual property or anything like that. It's like, it's from this artist's hand. It just happens to be made out of plastic or vinyl yeah. or whatever yeah. it is. We're like, I mean, I'd say that like, 1 out of 5 people at a convention will walk up and be like, what is this? You know? And I'm like, you paid $75 to get here. You don't understand this.
Yeah.
You know, or they'll be holding a bag of something that's maybe a little bit more popular than whatever we're slinging or whatever it is. But you're like, can't you see it's just a different version of this thing, you know? Yeah. And so being at SummerSlam or one of these smaller events makes things a lot more approachable, I think. And it makes me as sort of like the showrunner, carnival barker, whatever, it's like I'm more willing to engage and explain something to somebody because I don't have the agitation of having to deal with 100 people before that person asking me the exact same question where I'm like, how can you not see that this is like exactly what you have in your bag, which is different?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That is a thing that I see. Cause it is hard to explain. Like you at a convention, you get 30, 40 seconds sometimes with people It could be even shorter. And so you have to convey, like, this is art, this is a toy, it's both, buy one, or like, let me tell you about it. And
there's so much personality involved with buying stuff. And I'll say that there's people out there that make things that, like, you look at it and you're like, I just want it, mm-hmm. you know? And then there's other things, there's other artists that make stuff where you're like, I'm so engaged with who they are as an individual that, like, they make you a bigger fan of them, or you start understanding their mentality a little bit more.
Yeah.
And that brings that lures the audience in a little bit closer. And I'd like to say that, like, all the artists at SummerSlam already make great things. And it's the combination of all of us in the venue and in that, with that ambiance and everything, that it helps kind of like engage people a little bit more, because, you know, there's always going to be better artists, or there's always going to be like cooler things. But like, I think when you can associate something with like a really good memory, a really good experience, you're like, oh, this makes it even cooler.
Yeah. 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 You're not wrong.
You know, I really enjoy like the making even the SummerSlam t-shirts,
mm-hmm.
because I see, you know, I go out, you know, fairly often to different events, and I see them, people wearing them around. Like they actually like the shirts,
yeah,
and things like that, where it's like, I'm a sucker for like shirts. Like, I'll buy something at a show and I'll get home, I was like, why did I even buy this? I don't want this thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I never wear it again. And then, but the fact that I see people all the time wearing SummerSlam shirts, I'm like, oh man, like, okay, we did something cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we made something that engages people. And they like that, you know, whether it's like they like that people recognize what it's from, or they think it's a cool design. I don't know, you know, but it definitely tickles me every time I see one out in the wild, and it just makes you feel like, okay, we did something cool.
Yeah. I think honestly, you guys did that. If that's any consolation, you guys did something cool for sure. To the point where I'm really excited for the next one. I'm really excited to go up and really like tell people about this. Before I even knew, because we worked together on a project in like very little ways, you helped connect me to someone, Bottleneck. Yeah. And, but before I even knew that part, I heard rumblings of a show that was in a backyard.
Right.
And not knowing the name, not knowing anything about it, the way that it was talked about was like, oh, the show is invite only for tabling, and then it's like, you got to have a ticket. And then no one told me the name, but the show is out there, even in the rumblings of like, this is what SummerSlam is.
Yeah. And you know, I don't do the best job, and it's all somewhat intentional, of like putting it out there for people, because I really want people to sort of like want to discover it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because if I just put it out there and just start just taking out ads and doing whatever, it would just get too out of control, and it would connect with an audience that it wasn't necessarily intended for.
Yeah.
And that's something that I really pride myself, is that when you look out, you know, and I walk around, and this is all done intentionally. Like, I look at everybody that gets a ticket. Mm-hmm. I look at their names. I look at where they're coming from. When I walk out and I look at the line, I'm clocking people that I'm like, oh, that guy's a flipper. That guy's a whatever. Like, this guy's got a bad attitude. This guy's a whatever. Like, and I pride myself with SummerSlam in everybody having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody is there because they truly are a fan of the medium. They're a fan of the artists. They want the items that we have available. It's all with very good intentions. And that's something that's like, it all happens organically. You know, it's just like, maybe you heard about it at the time, and you know, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but like, you're kind of like early in your journey compared mm-hmm. to most of us as far as like toys and stuff is concerned.
Yeah.
And maybe connecting with like a thing like SummerSlam might have been too early for you in that exact moment, because you're like, I don't get it, you know, I don't know what the deal is with all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where now that you're you know, I don't even know, hundreds of interviews in, you're like, okay, I definitely understand the scene a little bit more, or the idea of these toy lottos, or how big an artist like Paul really is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I'll say that, like, because other people have asked me about it. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, like, it's out there. And it's like, it might be a collector that, like, if it's somebody that I'm like, oh, he definitely needs to be here, there, I'd obviously just throw him all the information in the world. And there's guys that I kind of like, well, I feed him just a little bit, and I'm like, oh, they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's perfect. What's interesting too is I did like a little history of Sifubi zine, like nothing crazy, not super exhaustive, just like how we get to this point. And some of these names come up in it, because it's like, these are the people that started early on. These are the people that really rocked the house. So to be able to be in the same place, interacting with those people and watching things happen. There was a guy that did a toy haul that, like, his bag was full. Like, I don't know. I spent a good amount of money, a couple hundred bucks. His bag, if I had to put a price, it was like a couple thousand.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was like, you know why you're here. That's right. Like, I just left that, like, you got it. You understand.
Yeah, you know, I don't know who that is, but I'm sure they've been around before or whatever. Or yeah. You know, like they save their money knowing that this show is something special, or we're going to have what they want. You know, something unique that we do at the show is we all get together a couple days beforehand and we do like gang painted stuff.
Yeah.
Where it's like everybody that participates in SummerSlime paints a little bit of a figure. And then it just turns into this weird mishmash that can't exist anywhere else, because it's just like, you know, I might do base coating and John will do like highlights, and then Buana will do hand detailed stuff. Paul will paint the eyes, and then Michael will do some other like complimentary colors, and Brandon will do something else funny. Like it's something unique. And I think it's something that people have started to look forward to. When it comes to like this show, because that doesn't happen anywhere else. Cause it, like, we all basically need to be in the same room together with like an airbrush rig ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. It is cool. And then watching you guys post pictures of all of you like on the beach or doing something, those pictures make community real.
Yeah. And that's something that I really, more than, you know, the other stuff, is that I want people to understand that we're all really friends. Mm-hmm. You know, I talk to Buana fairly often. I mean, I see Paul like all the time. You know, like you know, we stay at each other's houses and things like that. You know, I see Brandon Blitzkrieg toys like every week, multiple times. You know, like we're all very close, and that's something that I want people to know. And then when they're in at SummerSlam, I want people to feel, because I want, you know, in a way that like we create this event that brings everybody together, because we want them to feel that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like beyond the transactional nature of conventions. And that's fun. You know, buying stuff is awesome. You know, we're retail therapy all the way.
Yeah.
But it's like, I really think about the scene. And I think about what keeps a scene together, and it's really sort of like the feeling and the community. And there's bigger artists out there, but I don't think there's a grouping of guys that can function so well together, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Absolutely. You
know? And that's something that like I've taken a lot of pride in, as far as like, you know, if we want to call like, let's say like Creature Bazaar, like some sort of like art collective or whatever it is, it's that like we have a bunch of guys that all work together really well. And we just all happen to do what we do well as on top of that.
Yeah.
You know, that it's more about personality and having us all connect. And then the talent is second, except all the guys are really talented as well.
Yeah. Man, Quan, congrats on another successful show. Congrats on making things happen like this. We can wrap this up by saying, what do you want people to know for the next one as they get ready and how they missed out on this one?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's always going to be another show. I don't want anybody to ever think that they're missing out on anything.
Yeah.
You know, they just get better and better. And that really, it's just like, you know, whenever you're at a show, whenever we're at a show, you know, don't ever feel like you're like taking up too much of our time or whatever. We love to engage with people. That's what we're there for. You know, like it's really easy for somebody to buy something online.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That moment, it might not seem like it in the moment. It might seem like you're bugging us or bothering somebody, but you're really not. You know, we want to be there. We want to talk to you. It just depends on like who did we talk to before we talked to you?
Yeah.
Or what happened before? Cause that's probably why we might be a little like standoffish or whatever. Cause there's usually somebody doing something insane or somebody in a fedora that came and paid with pennies, which has actually happened before. Is like, there's some crazy guy at a show and you're just like dressed all nuts. And then he bought something off of me and he literally brought out like a big thing of change. I'm like, you came to a toy show where everything, I'll say that everything is over $75 or something like that.
Yeah.
And you brought a Ziploc bag of coins.
Yeah. Holy moly.
You know? And so I feel really bad for whoever came up to me right after that guy definitely got the punishment.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, like, you know, I just wanted to hop on with you and just, you know, kind of put it out there for anybody that was interested in possibly coming to the show. And so they can kind of get more what it's about, you know, so that like, you know, they might block out the time for next year to check it out.
Yeah.
And then maybe if you did come to the show, at least this is sort of like a, oh yeah, like I never really thought about it that way, but that's cool, you know, or you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Heck yeah. And honestly, anyone listening, go. This is your thing. Go. Quan, thank you for coming on and talking through your show.
Yeah, of course, man. Hopefully, there's more stuff we can talk about in the future.